If you decided to donate your birthday to KPFT this year, thank you. If your special day hasn't yet arrived, consider donating your birthday to KPFT. Here's how it works. Facebook sends you a prompt before your birthday asking if you'd like to donate your birthday to a nonprofit. Select KPFT as your organization of choice. Then add a personalized message so that your friends know how much KPFT means to you. On your birthday, they'll receive a Facebook notification asking them to make a donation in your honor to KPFT. Thanks again for supporting 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, Pacifica Radio for Peace.
The Cool Beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch marks 8 p.m. Thursday, time for So What's Your Story. We're the only program originating in Houston devoted to storytelling, and it's only here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, and alongside a copious team saturated in even greater talent, Greg Audell, Drs. Warren Holloman and Mary Edgerton, and fortified by our equally skilled guest hosts, Eric Heen, Christy Gorman, and Harwood Taylor, all topped off by standout, stand-in engineer Justin O'Neill, we celebrate the power of story by placing the spotlight on tellers who take us on journeys through windows of their souls before returning us safely to the present. We have got a village populated with our favorite guest storytellers waiting in the wings, but first, a reminder that we are in our winter fun drive when we ask you to invest in KPFT. A member of the Pacifica Radio Network, committed to independent expression, where artists showcase their works, DJs drop needles on songs only played here, and social issues are conveyed honestly and fairly. And this program, So What's Your Story, paints a portrait in community radio. Hundreds of storytellers from our community, from 12 to 100 years old, have graced this studio with live stories about jubilation, tragedies, trajectories, and everything in between. It's the stuff to savor and sustain. Now, I know you agree because you propelled us from once a month in 2008 to weekly a year later to this enviable slot hovered between the iconic Progressive Forum with Wally James and Lars Tennyson Tape Deck. But we rely on continued support. So call 713-526-5738 with your generous pledge or, if you prefer, go to www.kpft.org, then to donations, select a form of payment, and scroll to So What's Your Story as the show that you'd love to support. 10 students from Ireland Performing and Visual Arts Middle School, each guided by their consummate teacher, Ms. Vinnie Arlt, are about to demonstrate the magic of their program with a medley of soul-inspired stories that make us proud. Particularly their parents spread throughout our studio tonight, and my God, there are a lot of them. How is everybody tonight?
Marley and marvelous.
We just want to make sure that everybody can be heard.
Wonderful.
Everybody? Amazing. Yes, get up here.
Yeah, amazing. Extraordinary.
Amazing. Great. You guys know what adjectives are, and most people don't, so I'm really glad about that. That's beautiful. Let listeners hear you say your name one at a time. We're going to start with people here in the studio and then get the folks next to Justin. I'm going to pretend I'm Mr. White from Breaking Bad, right? Go ahead. Say my name.
I'm Raymond Gamboa.
I'm Ariel Stribling.
I'm Ariana Ozan.
I'm Luis Rodriguez.
I'm Lucas Reza.
I'm Stephanie Santiago.
I'm Nedra Kabir.
I'm Wilson Terry.
I'm Jaya Blacklock.
And I'm Isabella Orland.
And I'm exhausted. I mean, we're done now, right? Tune in next week when we're going to have another 83 possible people, right? You guys are wonderful. You know, let's respect the old people and let's start with eighth graders. How's that? Right? Because you guys are old. Ariana Ozon loves to read and treasures music and theater. In fact, she plans to attend Howard University to study musical theater with sights set on stardom. Ariana, you gave me a list of inspirational artists, and one, Louis Armstrong, was an astonishing choice. Why him?
I chose Louis Armstrong because I feel like he's the reason why we have pop jazz today, him and alongside Ella Fitzgerald.
You know, I love the fact that you're the only one that I know under the age of 70 who even knows who Louis Armstrong is. And that, I think, is pretty impressive. I love your parents for even knowing to teach you who Louis Armstrong is. Now, your story is about an incident that impacted you in 2014. Your dad was paralyzed because of a nicked intestine. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Tell us the story.
Why didn't you sue, or are you going to sue, is the question that I'm asked every time I talk about my dad or why he's in a wheelchair. On the day of January 27th, 2014, my dad went into the hospital for a medical routine procedure. 2 weeks went by and I was still wondering where my dad was. Then my mom finally told me. 3 days after my dad had been admitted, he was in pain, just lying there. The doctors finally told my mom and my grandmother what happened. They nicked his intestines. When I finally got to see my dad, he had tubes down his throat and tubes in his nose. And he looked very, very sick. I was wondering, why me? Why my family? I was wondering, am I going to need a black dress? Is my name going to be in the obituary as his daughter, Ariana Ozan? What happened to my dad is what's called a medical error. Almost 1.5 million Americans are injured by medical errors. 769 hospitals in America have been fined for medical errors such as giving the patient the wrong dose of medicine, taking out the wrong body part, and injuring a healthy body part. That's what happened to my dad. I think about sometimes the days where when he was walking, I could just get on his back and ride on his back and just say, oh, my God, I love you so much, Dad. But the day of on January 27, 2014, that all went away. He wasn't talking to me. I know he could hear me, but he still wasn't talking to me. So when people ask me, why didn't you sue or are you going to sue, I tell them that the money does not matter. It's about the fact that my dad is still here with me because I could have lost him.
You are a person far beyond wisdom. That's a beautiful story. I want our listeners to know that tonight we have a mixed bag, but not really. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever we have a lot of stories like this, we sometimes want to know what the common denominator is. And tonight it's all about courage. Listeners, you're going to hear stories about courage. But more importantly, these young people have something that most people just don't have. They've got grit and determination, and their stories are really fueled with the kind of personal introspection that most can only envy. They really are fabulous. Ariana, what is the single most important message that you want us to take from this incredible story?
Courage is what you cannot lose, but power is what you can gain.
Well, say that again.
Courage is what you cannot lose, but power is what you can gain.
Power is what you can gain. Wow. Eighth grader Ariel Stribling is passionate about dance and loves to write because it allows her imagination to evolve. She's torn between a career as an OBGYN or a child psychologist. Ariel, you know, you got to love kids in either career option. But why focus on children?
I'm focusing on kids because kids are our future.
Yeah, they are. There's really no other way to phrase it, right? Old people are not our future. We'll be gone. We'll be gone. Now, yeah, you know, Ariana told a great story about courage, and yours is about that, too. A little bit different. You have a story about a challenging time in your life, and rather than getting into that a little bit more, I want you to jump into it before we explore it a bit. Tell us your story.
Bisexual, an adjective meaning sexually attracted, not exclusively to one particular gender, or in easier terms, attracted to both men and women. I defined myself as this term on April 18th, 2019, when I figured out I liked the female frame. I tried to deny the feeling because I didn't know if my friends and family would accept me. I kept my feelings bottled inside for a long time. I was trying to figure out how I wanted to bring up the topic and how I wanted to put my words together so people knew what I was saying without me really saying it. On April 29th, 2019, my mom and I were in the car on the way to get my hair done when I asked the question. I nervously blurted out, "Mama, what would you say if I liked a girl?" She looked at me and asked, "Do you like girls?" And that's when I shook my head yes. The car ride suddenly became quiet. I think we were both trying to understand what I said. About 5 minutes passed before she said, "Do I prefer you liking girls?" "No." "But do I still love you and care for you the same?" "Yes." My heart cheered up. I was accepted by one of the three most important factors in my life. I next tackled telling my friends. That was easier because they didn't care at all. They still accepted me and they enjoyed my time. Nobody had treated me different. The last person I had to tell was my dad. The same nervous feeling I got when I was trying to tell my mom and friends had resurfaced. That same scared feeling of not being loved and cared for the same. I was scared that I would be denied like the kids in the movies. I was scared of being told you can only like boys. This gave me really bad anxiety. On July 27th, 2019, my mom and I were holding a conversation about the current girlfriend I had. I guess my dad overheard the conversation and asked me, did I have a girlfriend? My body tensed up and my throat felt like it was closing. I had completely zoned out for about a good 3 minutes before he shook me back to reality and asked me again. I gulped and said yes. He did the same silent thing my mom did when I told her. We were both trying to understand what I just said. He thought about it long and hard before he finally uttered out, "Okay, I'm shocked, but okay." My heart jumped for joy. I had finally been accepted, and all my fears had went away.
You know, this story is, and I knew what your story was going to be, and this is such a hard story to tell for some obvious reasons, but a really critical one. It's really essential. You know, it's been said that people really need to give themselves permission to tell a story. Does that make sense? What was it that gave you permission to tell the story?
I felt like this was my story, and I am proud of who I am, and I want other people to feel comfortable and be proud in who they are.
Yeah, and you know, you have such great conviction and confidence when you say that. I would imagine that it wasn't that easy when you first said it,
no.
Right? You had to build up to that. What's the most powerful lesson that you learned about yourself, Ariel?
I learned that I'm very confident in myself and that I'm confident in being me. So like when other people say, "Okay, well, no, you can't be this," I'm like, "Okay, well, no, I can be that."
You can be. Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, vulnerability is revealed in both your stories, Ariana and Ariel, and will be heard in others that we're going to be telling tonight. But these narratives encourage a deeper appreciation for what University of Houston professor of social work and storyteller Brené Brown says of vulnerability. "It's the last thing I want you to see in me, and it's the first thing I look for in you." In short, to be vulnerable is to be strong, to be very strong. And the last thing you want is to tune in to hear, that's right, silence. KPFT didn't shut down when the Klan tried to shut us up by bombing us in 1970. March 1st will be 50 years as a communication institution in Houston. And I'm asking you to invest in the next 50 years of independent programming where human expression isn't seen as important. It's seen as everything. Ariel, I know you just kind of left the mic, but if you could come up here for just a moment and if you could read this to everyone, because I think they need to hear this from you.
Please call the number 713-526-5738, JAM KPFT.
Great job. Beautiful. We're going to move into something a little bit different now, and that's video games. But, you know, video games is a topic as common as the rising sun. However, for our next two young storytellers, it's the impressions about the topic that make their stories far from common. Raymond Gamboa is a history-loving eighth grader with an additional penchant for playing the guitar. He's humble when asked about his musical skill, but the word is he's darn talented. Raymond, you told me that 90s alternative rock aroused your musical interests.
Yes, sir.
What makes 90s alternative so cool?
90s alternative was so cool because it was just completely different from everything else coming out at the time.
Yeah, who were some famous artists that played that stuff?
You had like Radiohead, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Yeah. Oasis.
Mm-hmm. Great bands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you ever think about looking for a job as a disc jockey? Because you just rattle these off beautifully. And they're a theme, aren't they? They're a real theme.
Yes,
alternative 90s rock. Curiously, your interest in music didn't come from playing video games. Rather, it came from a video that was played in class by your guitar teacher, right?
Yes, sir.
Tell us the story.
Well, it was Halloween during 2017, and during my 10th period guitar class, the teacher decided to show us something spooky. He showed us the Paula's Dead theory, theorizing that Paul McCartney had been dead since 1966 and was replaced by a lookalike. However, after class, I was so intrigued that I went to check it out on my own. I checked the Beatles catalog for lyrics and clues hidden in the songs. Next thing I knew, I was a Beatlemaniac. I wanted to have every album and learn every song with a guitar. I wanted to know everything about the Beatles. To me, they were the coolest thing in the world. No one would ever be cooler than the Beatles. About 2 years later, in November of 2019, I was still obsessed with the Beatles. I had heard that Keith Moon of The Who had tried to join them, so I gave The Who a listen. I was soon listening to The Who regularly. Not as much as the Beatles, but I was still hooked. It was all about The Who at that point. When I learned that Kurt Cobain of Nirvana admired both bands, I gave them a listen as well. I was in love with their music soon enough. I got so hooked that I almost forgot about the Beatles. My dad listened to Nirvana when he was in high school, so he had some of their albums that I could listen to. I also learned a crazy amount of their songs on the guitar. When I heard stories that my dad told me about him getting into Metallica in the 80s and them sounding somewhat similar to Nirvana, I gave them a listen and got obsessed with them too. I also got hooked on Black Sabbath when I learned they influenced Metallica and metal as a genre. Plus, the Beatles and Who accidentally provided the basis for metal. I still question how I got from Love Me Do to Eminence Front to Smells Like Teen Spirit to Master of Puppets to Paranoid, but I did. I don't believe that Paul died in 1966, but boy did the theory change me. Well, not how I expected to, but it still did. That video indirectly influenced what music I listened to. It shaped what I would learn on guitar, and in some cases, my style on the guitar. I just wanted to know if a man was living or not. Considering music is one of, if not the most important things in my life right now, my life would be completely different and entirely different if that event had not occurred. I listen to Nirvana and Metallica daily just to show their impact on me. Those previously mentioned bands also helped me socially. I made a few friends with a common love of the Beatles, and another with a love for Metallica and other sorts of metal. I also aspire to be a musician, and the Beatles influenced that in me. I want to play alternative rock. Grunge is a subgenre of alternative rock, and Nirvana was a grunge band. All bands changed me in one way or another.
Fabulous. Did you see the film? You saw the movie yesterday, I'm sure.
Yes, right. Sir.
Yesterday.
All my troubles seem so far away. Ooh.
All right. Very good. Nice extemporaneous. Now, what about The Who? What's your favorite song from The Who?
I'd pick Eminence Front.
Really?
Nice tune.
Sing a couple of lines.
I can't remember the words, but it's a catchy tune.
It's a catchy tune. Sure it is, yeah. So is Chopsticks, right? Okay, all right, good. So The Who and The Beatles, how would you describe the difference between the two groups?
They were very similar, had very similar sound.
Really?
They came around at the same time. At least early on, it's pretty similar.
Very cool. Tell us one thing that we can learn from video instruction that most people never consider.
Well, video instruction can sometimes bring a new perspective or angle on a topic rather than normal instruction.
Yeah, very cool. Because it's very visual, right?
Yes.
Good for visual learners in particular. Lucas Rutta, another eighth grade video maven, is also a science lover. But when you probe a little bit, this little genius will tell you that his true loves are doodling and dozing off. Now, I love your frankness, Lucas. I know that you love science because of an insatiable sense of inquiry that you've got. But doodling?
I absolutely love doodling.
You sound like you love doodling. You sound so passionate about it.
It helps me stay calm and empty my head of thoughts.
You sound like the calmest creature I've ever met. It's like you've taken a chill pill every day, right? What do you like to doodle?
Well, I like to doodle superheroes and Star Wars related stuff.
Favorite superhero?
Either Batman or Spider-Man.
Now, when you doodle, tell me the truth. Are you in class, kind of bored when you doodle?
Yes.
Okay, but not in Miss Arnold's class.
Sometimes.
Okay. All right. So you're a doodler. And when you doze off, right? When you doze off.
Yes, sir.
Do you sort of dream creative thoughts or what?
Yes, I do dream.
Yeah, like what?
Like all kinds of random thoughts. I can't explain it. It just comes up.
Well, random thoughts are very cool because in a way that has something to do with your story. Your video game story is about how gaming affected your self-esteem.
Yes, sir.
But you know, self-esteem is a very meticulous process, right? Comes from someplace. You got to dig deep. Mm-hmm. Tell us your story.
The original Star Wars Battlefront 2 was the most influential game of my life. That's when games became a huge part of my life. I've always had a love for them. My memories of that game were protecting the beaches of Kashyyyk. I was playing as the 501st, attacking the droid army. I have always had a love for Star Wars, so that, and my brother, caused me to start playing that game. I fell in love with video games after that. Then, I was introduced to other games. The games I was introduced to were Spider-Man, Friends or Foes, Ultimate Spider-Man, and Batman Begins. My love for superheroes caused me to play them. I would play them for hours on end. After that, more games were being made about superheroes. So I played the Captain America and Iron Man games. Then, one of the best games in my memory came out. That game was Batman Arkham Asylum. Arkham Asylum was the best superhero game ever. It was stealth-based, action-packed, and had a great story. After the success of that game, three more came out. Since I played the first one, I felt I had to play the other games. As I got older, my love for games grew stronger. I always saw games as an escape from current problems. I could go into games and forget all about my problems. From being peaceful playing Minecraft, to taking my stress and frustration out on NPCs in Red Dead Redemption 2. It helped ease current stress. But games also shaped who I am today. Games helped create me. They made me able to talk to some people. I became a bit more confident because of them. They've inspired me to become more creative. Some of my ideas are influenced by certain video games. In the end, video games have changed me. They have helped me in different ways. Now my dream job is to create games.
Beautiful. What kind of a game would you like to create?
Well, I want to create Star Wars games, mm-hmm. open mm-hmm. world.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, pretty fascinating stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
You also like science, mm-hmm. right? What's your favorite science course?
Well, I really love space science.
Space, right.
Yes.
Astronomy,
mm-hmm.
right. You ever go to the planetarium? You ever like that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
You know, all the constellations?
I wish.
You wish? You don't know any constellations?
No.
You're a science guy.
I know.
Cassiopeia, Big Dipper,
oh,
Little
that
Dipper.
One, yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows that, mm-hmm. right? Very cool. Tell us one thing that we should never forget to help build positive self-esteem, because I think you offer some real good anecdotes, but what's one thing?
Be proud of who you are. There's only one of you. You are special in your own way.
It's all about pride, right?
Yes.
It's all about pride. You know, Luis Rodriguez is another advocate of self-esteem because along with his own love for video games, basketball, and an interest in petroleum engineering, this eighth grader is a proud participant in the Learning Police Activity Program, the old PAL, the Police Athletic League. Luis, I know that your mom signed you up. How long have you been a member?
I've been a member for about 6 months, and I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, you know, you learned a lot about self-respect, about self-discipline, inner strength, largely with the help of your mentor. What's his name?
His name is Officer Barreau.
Yeah, sounds like a terrific guy from how you described him the other day. You know, PAL was an instrument for change, and your story is all about change. Tell us your story.
In elementary, I was never a bad kid. I got 80s and above, and I haven't gone to the principal's office yet. That all turned around in 7th grade. I kept getting referrals to the administrators from left and right. I didn't do any of my homework and also didn't care to do my classwork either. My mom was upset with me, so I promised her I tried my best in 8th grade. Things didn't go exactly to plan, though. In the first 3 months, I've already been suspended 3 times for aggressive misconduct towards other students. At the time, I didn't care about getting wrote up and suspended. I thought my actions weren't wrong, and I was caught up in my head. I felt like the world had no other consequences for me. I didn't realize how bad it was until I got suspended for the third time. My parents were called up to the school, and they had to take me back home. My mom was frustrated with me, and then it hit me. It doesn't just cause consequences for me, but also my family as well. I didn't do anything on the suspension days except clean. I hated the dean for a while, and I thought it was his fault I got in trouble at home. I didn't realize he was just doing his job until we had a parent-dean conference. I also saw that he was friendly and tried to back up. I'm usually not like this. I had him last year for homeroom when he used to be a science teacher, but his promotion raised him up to an 8th grade dean. It has been 2 months since I was last written up or suspended. I still have some hardships with keeping my grades up, but I have improved my conduct a lot. I've also gotten closer to my parents and even my little brother. I was worried that my behavior would affect which high school I go to, but thankfully, I was accepted to my high school of choice. I hope never to have any more contact issues now and in the future. People will see the mistakes I made, but I will achieve higher things to show them that is not the person I am anymore. I acted out because I reacted to certain things on my own before I could think about the situation. I've educated myself to think before I do anything now, which has helped me a lot beneficially.
Beautiful. How does crafting a story help you get a better definition of who you are?
Well, it really helps me to empty all my thoughts onto a piece of paper that I could soon read out later to think about all this.
Yeah, and you just sort of, it's sort of like keeping a diary, right?
Yes,
you document your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas. You get a chance to monitor them, get rid of them, but yet still hold on to them. And why is it so hard for people to face their mistakes?
It is hard for people to face their mistakes because you don't want to relive the embarrassing past.
You think so?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but people do have to take ownership. That's a big deal, right?
Yes, sir.
They have to acknowledge mistakes. They've got to say, I'm sorry. It's hard for people to do that. Yeah, your story really has some great implications. Name one adjective that best describes you after making this transformation.
Relieved.
Relieved. Interesting. Why relieved?
Well, because I don't have to worry about getting in trouble anymore, really, or about the actions that I'm going to make, because I really helped myself out a lot by thinking about everything I'm going to do and what will happen and how it will affect me in the future.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, stories tonight are compelling these young tellers to validate who they are. E.E. Cummings claimed, it takes courage to grow up and become who you really are. And that begs the question, who do you want to be? Well, tonight's storytellers, along with every student at MPVA over the years, has been nothing short of awesome. Sorry for the lame segue, but why not become a member of the KPFT family? We're cheap, only $25 a year. You know, that small amount buys you a vote for board members and even the chance to run for a position yourself. But dig deep, just as hundreds of our guests have done over the years, and you're going to find that this station is an investment worthy of your tax-deductible donation. Right, Greg? Greg, you out there? Or are you totally smothered in the sea of people?
You hear me, Hank?
Yeah, there you are.
All right, here I am.
We good. I knew you were
first
out there
off,
somewhere.
We have a waiting room full of parents who are enjoying listening to their kids.
I hope so.
And they would all love to hear the phone rings at 713-526-5738. And our contributors can join Russell, who called in with a generous pledge, and then two of our wonderful storyteller friends, Jerry Pfister and Michael Winters, we want to thank for their generous contributions
thank you,
and support
Jerry. Thank
of our
you,
program
Michael.
And for their wonderful stories.
Yeah, and it's a little bit different, by the way. We should tell listeners that when you call in, you know, it's not so much a matter of listening to the phones ring, right? I mean, it's sort of a matter of more like monitoring the donations. Isn't that kind of what you're doing out there?
It is. It is. But people can still call. They can call. They can donate online at kpft.org.
They sure can.
And, of course, you want to select your favorite program that you want to support. So what's your story?
You bet. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
In late March, Warren Holloman is going to host another set of students from MPVA to share teen diary entries. We were talking just a few minutes ago with Luis about writing and what that means. Well, in late March, some of your students, some of your friends are going to be here sharing some teen diaries that were written during the Holocaust, which I think is incredible and something that really needs to be done. The Holocaust Museum has a magnificent display called And Still I Write that was written by teen diarists, and many of your friends are going to be reading some of those, and we are really looking forward to it. And next week, Mary Edgerton ushers in Valentine's Day with Tam Lee, a fresh new teller that Mary and I met at the December Moth. Tam's stories range from weird dates, really weird dates, to family tradition, all fine-tuned for Valentine's Day. And it's all here on So What's Your Story on KPFT Houston. This is Hank Rubinchek with Justin O'Neill, and you are listening to a talented troupe of students from Ireland Performing and Visual Arts Middle School on So What's Your Story, only on Pacifica KPFT Houston and 91.9 in Huntsville. Justin, what are your thoughts about these incredible students? First of all, you're doing an amazing job. I know you're kind of the party monitor out there. Hi, everybody. You can take pictures here. And by the way, here's champagne and cookies or whatever we got out there. Okay. What do you think?
Well, I just want to say that, it takes a lot of courage to tell such vulnerable stories, and I really admired the person, like how personal each story is tonight.
Yep. It really is. Yeah, we're gonna kind of shift right now. You guys can go in the other room, and we're gonna bring in other friends here while Justin tells us a little bit more about the wide, wide world of storytelling. You know, these students have the benefit of having one of the best teachers on the planet, Ms. Vinnie Arlt. But everyone doesn't have access to Vinnie, so where in the world are we going to turn to harness our inner story, Justin?
Fortunately, there's a lot of places. So let's start with our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, because it is a great place to learn about the art of telling. They meet on the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 at Temple Emmanuel, located at 1500 Sunset. Their next swap is February 25th, and be sure to bring a friend. Be sure to visit the Guild's website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for information about all their upcoming events, like their Liars Contest, held on Saturday, April 4th. While you're on the site, enjoy our past So What's Your Story programs listed under radio program. Don't miss any of our weekly live programs, and not owning a radio is never a problem because you can listen to us stream live on kpft.org and on Facebook. We're also on YouTube. We're all over the place. Get to know us by visiting our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and be sure to share it with friends, and why not like it when you leave. Got program ideas? Guests, maybe yourself? Let us know by dropping us a note at story@kpft.org, and we promise to get back to you. Don't forget our friends at the Moth at Warehouse Live the second Tuesday of the month, where you'll enjoy some terrific stories. Next one is Tuesday, February 11th, and their theme is Love Hurts. Get your tickets online at themoth.com because they are always sold out at the door. And for our listeners who want to take their storytelling skills to the next level, why not become a member of the Tejas Storytelling Association and the National Storytelling Network?
Thank you. All right, Justin, thank you. Yeah, that's themoth.org. And you know what? They are standing room only, so make sure you do get your tickets online. And Love Hurts. Everybody's got Love Hurts, you know? The guy dumped me, you know, there's something, always something going on, right? So people love that stuff. Actually, you guys have some stories that sort of deal with that kind of right? No? I think you do, but not really, right? I guess we're looking at it a little differently. Well, we'll let our listeners be the judge. For seventh grader Stephanie Santiago, crazy thoughts, and I guess there are a lot of them, are found in her mountain of writing, along with a love for drawing cartoons. Stephanie's only drawback, yes, there is a pun intended there, is having enough paper. What's the definition of a crazy thought?
To me, a crazy definition of a crazy thought is basically my life.
What do you mean your life? What does that mean?
Your life
is a crazy thought?
Like, my life has so many crazy events in it. Like,
yeah, but fun stuff, yes. Right? Okay. Well, self-esteem is the key to self-confidence, right? I think that's a good formula. It's a profound formula in your story about how you used to compare yourself to others. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair assessment?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah, we look forward to it.
Last year in 2019, I would always look at my body and tell myself how much I hate it because of how it looked. I used to get laughed at because of it, and I wanted it to stop. I couldn't take it. I would start comparing myself to others, so my self-esteem would go down. It was getting worse. It was hard for me to actually be on social media without comparing myself to others. They had perfect bodies and faces. I heard the phrase, "Nobody is perfect," but just by looking at people on social media, I couldn't believe that phrase. When it was reaching the end of 2019, I started realizing how much my body does for me. My body has eyes to help me see the beauty of the world. It has legs to make me run free, and it has arms to embrace the ones I love. This year in 2020, I want to change, to learn to love myself no matter what.
That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful statement. And what inspired you to tell that story?
Well,
why is it so important for you to share it with us tonight?
I want everyone to know that you don't compare yourself to others.
Why do we compare ourselves?
Because nowadays in social media, it shapes our minds to think that everyone is perfect. So then you look at yourself and then you compare yourself to them.
You know, and I really appreciate that point. We know that social media is important to us, but we also know that social media really does underlie, the human condition in many ways. It undermines it too, because in some ways we aren't able to be ourselves. We try to be who other people want us to be. It's all visual, right?
Yes.
I mean, we got hundreds of friends on Facebook and nobody to call. If you have a problem, you ever think about that? Nobody to call. But I got hundreds of friends, right? Beautiful. Don't compare yourself to anyone because no one is like you. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Nedry Javier, you are in the 7th grade and you're already a seasoned actor in commercials. And you're going to be in a Disney pilot to be filmed in New Orleans. Curiously, with all of his acting ability, he plans to be a doctor specializing in ENT. But let's see how talented he really is. Nedrick, read this announcement with feeling.
It would be a, excuse me.
What is wrong with you? Go see an ENT. Your throat is a mess.
It would be a crime not to support a program with so many brilliant student storytellers. So give us a call right now at 713-526-5738. Or go online to www.kpft.org so geniuses like us can continue to entertain.
Beautifully said. All right. Give him a round of applause. I love it. Yeah. You know, it sounds like something I'd write. Yeah. Pretty good job. Beautifully said. Now, in a few words, what is this Disney pilot?
So the pilot is called Sulphur Springs. And since it's a new show, I can't give much details yet. But I can say that it has already started to film in New Orleans and is expected to air this year.
You need to overcome your shyness. You know, that's the problem. You're too shy. We don't. Yeah, you got a lot of confidence, don't you?
Yes.
I love it. Now you've got a story that touches many people in Houston, and any diverse city. Tell us your story.
Moving away from your home is something not many people understand. Yes, it is sad, but it is more than that. You feel like it's the end of the world, like you're losing everything you have and know. The moment I got on that plane would be the hardest thing I had to do, moving from Puerto Rico to Texas. I was just 7 years old when I moved, and it had a big impact on me. I didn't know what to expect in a completely different country, but I was more worried about my little brother. He was only 2 years old when we moved. He didn't have the memories that I had. I was afraid he wouldn't remember home. The first year was really hard. I was getting lower grades than what I was used to due to the different education styles. The first home we had in Houston was a two-bedroom apartment. I really didn't enjoy it there because we were super crammed and there were 5 of us. I wanted to go back so desperately. I regretted the move until I found theater. Theater was different. It was storytelling in a completely different way. Of course, as a 7-year-old, I just thought it was cool to be on stage. After the first year of living in Houston, we finally bought a house. I was so relieved that we were in a much more comfortable place. We kept going back to Puerto Rico for summer vacation. My parents told me that we didn't only go to visit friends and family, but to help us not forget where we came from. When Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, I was devastated seeing my island in such destruction. Furthermore, I also had family members who were unable to communicate with us during and after the storm. I remember like it was yesterday when my dad was worried sick that he couldn't contact his mom, my grandmother, until weeks after the hurricane passed. I was also infuriated that the corrupt government of Puerto Rico lied about the death counts during the hurricane, which caused less help to arrive. Anyways, Puerto Rico was on its way to recovery, but sadly, recently a series of earthquakes have devastated the southern region of the island. Again, I was destroyed to see businesses, homes, and many people sleeping outside because they were afraid to sleep in their own homes. Even though there have been many unfortunate and sad events, moving to Texas has also brought many positive things to my life. In 2017, I won the Martin Luther King Oratory Competition, which has been one of my biggest accomplishments of my life. It has also opened many doors for me, such as giving me the opportunity to work as an actor for the TV and film industry. Moving to the U.S. was hard. I thought I was going to lose everything, but I was actually wrong. It opened a lot of doors for my family and I. Maybe getting on that plane wasn't so bad after all. And no matter where I am, I will always be a true Puerto Rican by heart.
It's a beautiful story. Now, when you were saying that you were in the Martin Luther King Oratory, was that a public speaking contest, or did you actually recite speeches by Martin Luther King?
It was a public speaking contest. We had to write our own speeches about a certain topic every year. The year that I won, the topic was, what would Muhammad Ali think of the world today?
Wow. What would he think of the world today?
I mean, he would have the same mindset as Dr. King. Yes, I think mm-hmm. so. Because I think they were in the same time period, and he also, like, he fought for what Dr. King.
Yeah, he was an activist. Yeah, he was a real activist. Yeah. And I think that's a good point. Yeah, Muhammad Ali, he was really very underestimated in terms of his community activism and the wonderful things that he did. He was a lot more than a fighter, wasn't he? A lot more than a fighter. What's the most important takeaway from this story? I know that I guess it's easy to interpret this as saying that differences are blessings rather than constraints, and I think that's a good point, especially in this city, because we really do that so well. Mm-hmm. But in your mind, what is the most important takeaway?
Well, in my mind, the most important takeaway is that if you have the right mindset, if you think positively all the time, I think you can overcome anything.
Yeah. Great point. Mm-hmm. Excellent point. You can overcome anything. No such thing as an obstacle.
Nope.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Debating is a favorite pastime for Wilson Terry, along with a love for writing fiction and playing soccer. Wilson, it's tough to answer this in a few seconds, but what's your take on the Democratic debates? There's a tough one for you.
I find them kind of tedious in the sense that they're unnecessary and they argue just to argue sometimes, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not really a debate.
Yeah.
You know, in high school I wrestled. I know you may not think that looking at me. How can he be? I mean, when he was in school, they probably didn't even have history, let alone wrestling. He's that old. In any event, little joke there. Yeah, you like that one? Okay. Wake up, everybody. There's a sense of humor going on. Okay. So, and I used to watch professional wrestling on TV, and I used to laugh because that wasn't professional wrestling. These people were beating the hell out of each other. They were just stepping on each other. They were getting on ropes and hitting on each other's... They were just stepping on each other. They were being ridiculous, right? And that's what I think it's like with a debate. Real debate, and what we see in these presidential debates, is ludicrous. There's no similarity at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think you said that very well. They really are unnecessary. I'm not sure why we all listen to them. You know, you're in the seventh grade, and already you are a victim of racism. Remember a little bit earlier, I was sort of saying that love hurts is a, you know, a mild theme with some of your stories.
Yeah.
You're someone I was making reference to, because this is something that's obviously very hurtful. And that's what I was making reference to. And there are a couple of other stories that I think fit into that theme. But you are already a victim of racism.
Yes.
Tell us this very hard story.
When I was about 9 years old, my mom, brother, and I went to a Chick-fil-A to meet up with my brother's friend. While our parents ordered food, my brother and his friend went to play in the play area. Since I was the oldest of us three, they sent me to watch the boys play. They'd been playing for a couple of minutes before my brother came back to find me. He wanted to go down the slide. My brother, being 5, was scared to go down the slide by himself without someone to go with him. I had to crawl up the stairs so I didn't hit my head. As I turned the last corner of the weird multicolored triangles, I saw a little girl blocking my brother from going down the slide. She was shorter than my brother, looked about 4, had blonde hair, and a little blue dress on. "Excuse me, my brother wants to go down the slide. Can you please move?" I'd asked politely. "No," she'd answered. "You can't go down the slide." "Why not?" I'd asked. "Because you're black. Your brother's friend can go because he's white, but you guys can't because you're black." Because you're black. Those 3 words. That was the first time anyone had ever been racist towards me. My brother and I told our mom what had happened afterwards. She then explained to us that black people, or people of color, had been treated badly for a very long time. I cried about it later when I was alone. The little girl's words hurt, but they kind of helped me see. I began noticing how badly people were treated if they were black. I saw stories in the news about black people getting shot by police officers for no reason besides their skin color. I heard all the hurtful, degrading slurs used to describe us. I noticed the types of neighborhoods people expected people of color to be living in. As I got older, I began reading books where characters were racist without shame. I noticed how people saw brown skin and pinpointed the person who owned it as a troublemaker. I saw the different punishments for a white criminal and a black criminal who committed the same crime. It was all so terrible, but it was the truth of it. There are all these official documents saying that everyone shall be treated as equals with equal respect and equal rights, but the truth is we're not. If this is us being treated with equal respect, then a lot of people must really disrespect themselves. People of color were taken from their country by strangers, and people treat them like dirt. Black people should be thanked, not scorned. It is a gift to have brown skin, not a shame.
That's beautifully said. So in your mind, racism is very much alive and well right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate that candor because you're not alone. I mean, it really is. We see it all around us. And the best thing to do is to sort of admit it because it's not going to go away if we hide it. Right. And I think that story makes that very clear. That's a very profound story. And those 3 words, because she's black, mm-hmm. those really stay in your mind. How are you feeling as that story was unfolding in your mind as you were revisiting that? What were you thinking about?
Well, I mean, I just kind of remembered the old pain that I felt because, I was pretty young when it happened, mm-hmm. so I didn't quite understand it, but then once I did, it hurt.
Yeah. There isn't any way that we can examine the consequences of racism in just a few seconds, not in a powerful story like this. But what is the most powerful lesson that you've learned?
The most powerful lesson learned for me is that sometimes you just can't change how people think, but you can change how you carry yourself in the face of it.
Great. What a well point. What a well said point that really does discern 2 differences. Okay, you 6th graders, we say the best for last. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Can't you say a little more excited than that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay, you 6th graders. Okay, we did say the best for last. Artist and creative writer Isabella Orlin might want to be a lawyer. Regardless, she's going to carry her sense of fairness because her story is about how people are judged. Is it fair to characterize you as someone with a strong sense of fairness?
Yes, absolutely. I believe so.
Yeah.
I want to be recognized as somebody who treats others as equals and as one regardless of who they are or how they look.
And your narrative is a twist on stories about confidence and being compared to others, right?
Yes.
Tell us your story.
Am I pretty enough? Am I skinny enough? Do I have long and luscious hair? Do I have the perfect color eyes or skin? That's somebody asking themselves if they're enough or worth it. You look in the mirror and judge whatever you can judge, or whatever you think others have judged. You go to school trying to suck in your stomach or hide all your ugly scars with anything you can find. You enter the hallways to see all the perfect girls with everything you ever wanted, but can't have. You look around at all the people that have clothes that make them stand out in the crowd and make them look like they could be on magazine covers. School is finally over, so you unlock your phone and go to social media and sit on it for hours in front of the mirror comparing yourself to others. You turn to the side to see if your stomach is small enough or if your butt is big enough. You turn back to face the front and just stare at yourself for a long period of time until tears start running down your face and you break down to the floor. No one's there to help you up and tell you you are worth it and say you are good enough. So you just sit there and continue to think about the ways you could look better. You go online to see ways on how to clear up your skin or grow out your hair so others in the hallway could just wish they could just be you, even though deep down inside, you don't even want to be you. because you want to be that girl that you see in the hallway with their big group of friends and perfect lifestyles. It's a competition on who's better looking or whose life is better put together, or even how exciting it is. You wipe your tears and stand back up and see your reflection looking back at you disappointedly. You turn on the cold water and splash it on your face. You take a deep breath in and out. Beauty doesn't last forever, so why do we obsess over it? Why do we look around and subconsciously hurt ourselves by comparing ourselves to others? It may not be common to men, but your words make it worse. The truth is, none of us are perfect. In a society that tells us how we must look and dress and be, we listen because we think they are right, when really, we are who we are. So don't be ashamed about it, or how you look or dress or feel, because confidence is key. Both men and women should feel like they are enough and feel like they can run the world. They should have enough courage to stand up and post a picture of themselves on social media without caring about what others see or think.
It's beautiful. Now, do you see yourself doing that? Like, did you used to look in the mirror and judge yourself and say, you know, what this part of the body looks like and what are people going to think and what can I do to improve myself?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we spend more time judging ourselves? Like, why don't we just spend more time thinking about how can we be the best we can be?
You know, social media nowadays is just people posting pictures of themselves and how they look. Yeah. And you just compare yourself to others.
Yeah. How do you feel about social media? I mean, it does some good things, but so, some of you are sort of making reference to social media in a way. And my sense is that you see it doing some good things, but you see it as being some obstacles as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are a couple of obstacles that you see?
Just, you know, it's great that people can post pictures of themselves online without, mm-hmm. you know, being, like, underconfident, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just, it really puts others down.
Yeah, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
Very well said. Jaya Blacklock is our closer, right?
Yes, sir.
You know what a closer is, and you're the closer. This ambitious sixth grader is a swimmer, artist, and plans to earn a PhD, and she's good at having fun. Now you enjoy still life art because it's realistic, and I found that fascinating. What do you find fascinating about realistic imagery?
Something I find fascinating is that it's real and something that you know it's there. You can stare at it for hours, and it's not going to go anywhere.
What's an example of still life for those people who can't really get a sense of what it is? So if you're looking at a still life piece of art, still life painting, what would be an example of that?
A still life is basically objects that are in front of you that you can draw and sketch out.
Yeah. Now, your story is about another kind of reality. And again, this is kind of what I was making reference to earlier, about hurt of sorts. Share it with us.
When you think everything is okay, when it's not. My parents got a divorce in 2019, and I was devastated. In the beginning, I thought everything was fine. Then my dad stopped coming home, and I barely saw him. My mom started to be suspicious and less herself. She started losing weight, and her health was not the best. I kept checking up on her. My dad would always say, "Oh, I'm still at work," or "Your papa is sick, so I'm staying with him." I had a feeling in my gut that something wasn't right. We did less family activities. My sister and I were getting worried. Then one day came, my mom asked me to get her laptop, and on top of it were divorce documents. I was in shock. I called my sister in there, and she was in total shock, too. Suddenly, my eyes started to tear up. My sister was there for me, though, and I was grateful. I wanted to confront them, but I listened to my sister and let it play out. A few weeks later, they called us in the living room. They were sitting on the couch. I came in laughing, trying to lighten the mood. I knew what this was about. I just didn't want it to be out there and be reality. They said, "Mommy and Daddy are getting a divorce, but they still love each other." It hit me like a ton of bricks. I started bawling. What I couldn't understand was why I was crying when I already knew. I could tell my sister was devastated, but she didn't show it because she was acting strong. Then I figured it out, that if they hadn't exposed it, then maybe they could get back together. But that wouldn't happen. The divorce had such an impact on my life, I didn't want to go to swim practice. At one point, I didn't want the holidays to come. When they did arrive, it wasn't the same. My mom said she wanted to tell us at a different time, like the summer, so we weren't unfocused during school. That didn't happen, though. Sooner than later, my dad moved out the house. I was in this feeling where I questioned the meaning of life. I'm so grateful that God was with us through the whole time. Things have gotten better, and I'm on my way back to normal. Every day, I must deal with my parents being divorced. My parents have gotten better, and I really do hope they find love again. When they do, I will be there supporting them like they support me. This divorce has really impacted me in many ways. For example, every Thursday, I must pack some of my things to go over my dad's. Also, every other weekend, I go over my dad's house. I mostly stay over my mom's. I'm used to it, though. Something I learned through this tragic event is when you're going through hard times, you always have to look for the positive. Also, if life is giving you twists and turns, you have to figure out how to adapt to those changes.
That's a beautiful thought. I really like that a lot. You know, in a sentence, what advice would you give to other kids going through this type of painful reality?
You may hurt during the beginning, but you'll get through it by courage and by doing the things you like.
Yeah.
Also, you have to make sure to stay positive.
I love it. You know, expression isn't just important, it's everything. And that's what all of you have demonstrated tonight. Got any shout-outs?
I want to shout-out my family and my siblings.
I want to shout-out to my mom and dad and my brother, Rivers.
I want to shout-out to my brothers and sisters, especially who are listening now.
I want to shout-out to my parents and Tay.
I want to shout-out my friends and family and my little brother at home and the MPVA broadcast program.
All right.
I want to shout-out to my mom, my brother, and Duda.
I want to shout out to my mom, my dad, my dance company, and my school.
I want to shout out to my friends and families and cousins.
I want to shout out to pretty much everyone I know.
That covers it, man. Beck, anybody else out there? No. Well, I want to do a shout out to my son. It's his birthday today. I like that. Josh, I love you. He's 33 years old, and boy, I'll tell you, I have a picture of him on Facebook when he was 3 years old. Thank you, Isabella Orlin and Jaya Batlacklock, Ariana Ozan, Ariel Stribling, I want to get all the names out, Luis Rodriguez, Stephanie Santiago, Nedrick Javier, Wilson Terry, Lucas Rutta, and Raymond Gamboa for proving how stories stretch the boundaries of the human heart. And thank you to Greg Audell for monitoring donations and for babysitting your parents, and to Justin for running the show, and to all of our listeners, because you rock our world. You know, we've got a little bit of tumult in the crowd, in the audience tonight. A lot of people out there. So I thought, why not go with something a little more appropriate and upbeat? OMC from 1995, How Bizarre. In the meantime, don't you dare move, because Lars is up next with a sweet mix of singer-songwriters on the Tennyson tape deck. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, I want you to join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story and Treasure What You Hear. You keep loving a great story, and we're going to keep bringing them to you. This is Dr. Hank, and along with the rest of the So What's Your Story team, we never want you to forget that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Stuck around TV news and cameras, there's choppers in the sky, Marines, police, reporters ask where, for and why. Belly yells, we're out of here, seen us since right on, making moves and starting grooves before they knew we were gone. Jumped into the Chevy, headed for big lights, wanna know the rest, hey, by the rights, how bizarre.